been blessed already in this meeting. I have. Oh, Holy Spirit, come, come. You know, we got nought to say of anything in value, but the Holy Spirit does. So I pray that he would speak to us continually and bless us tonight. Hallelujah. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We're God's children. God is our Father. Tonight is about Benjamin, the last son of Jacob. And Benjamin means son of my right hand. We're going to be talking about God's love and being a son and a daughter to God. It's the best thing that's happened to us. As it says here in John 3, see that the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we can be called children of God. You know, earlier when we were praying in the creche, I just looked at this damage we had in creche with the oil pipes leaking. We've had loads of problems with the central heating in this church for a long time. Different engineers have tried to come and fix it. It's on now, but it's not really fixed because we can't really control it too well. But what happened in creche was there's some pipes sticking through the top ceiling. And through these pipes, at the random moment, burst out loads of dirty refrigerator oil or air conditioner oil into creche. You know, me and Laurie did a lot of work there in creche for a very little money. We made it really nice, and when they were walking into this creche, it was cold, the heating wasn't on, and this oil had just spewed over that nice blue fabric, over all the little house we had, they had there with cushions in, and this carpet and this wall was dripping, and this stench. Did anyone smell it in this church? Crazy, isn't it? This oil spewing out all over creche. I was there thinking, wow, it's like scary, it's like the enemy. It was like Satan just puking. But good news, the rescue team game, me and Tom and Martin one morning were there, and we taped it all with cling film, you know, to stop the stench. And as I was praying there, praying together, I was looking at it, and it looked like a waterfall. You know, that cling film, just sparkly cling film, covering it all. And we had this round carpet that we just taped with this cling film on, this big plastic sheet. And it just looked like waterfall coming down from heaven and just flooding the creche. I thought, wow, you know, it's the love of God covering all of the muck and all of the sin that we go through and just pooling over the grace and the love of the Father. Do you know, what Vicky shared in his testimony was awesome, beautiful. Well done, Vicky. I only asked him like 5 minutes before the service. Hero. Beautiful what God's done for her. But you know, we all do these things in our life. We all do it that are just disgraceful and shameful when we get distant from God for some reason, from our Father. We do shameful things and we don't know why. The world does weirdly shameful things because they forget who their Father is. Because they forget the royalty that they're from. And they have to forget that. And go into this darkness, they start to swear, like Vicky was saying. Just swearing. A bit innocent at first, but swearing. You just forget who you are. You're just swearing. And then people do other things with their bodies. Shameful things in the dark places of the world. And just the spook of the enemy just gets spilt on your life. We all felt it. What we've done with our hands, what we've done with our eyes, with our heart, with our body, the shame we've felt. And you know, when you come back and you realize who your Father is, as a daughter who's gone away, or a son who's gone away to the world, like in the prodigal son story, remembers who his dad is when he's eating with the pigs. And this glimpse comes to him, and he remembers where he's from. And when you go back to your Father, this King we have, you know, in this video, it's like God's love for us, but it's also like Jesus and and God on the cross together fighting for us. You know, Jesus never gave up. No matter how painful it got, he was determined to finish the race. For his reward was us. Jesus was determined to finish the race. And we know how Jesus suffered for us. And God on his side, carrying Jesus forward. You know, they were on the cross together. You know, it was God separated from God. We cannot understand this. But the cost of the Father and the Son was, we can't explain it. Because we're covered in this puke. God came to save us. Do you know what? Tonight we can come back to our Father. It's stepping into that waterfall. A blessed place where all that puke and muck gets covered over. This ever-flowing, purifying love of God. You know, this God is an awesome king. The Queen of England is awesome. So royal, beautiful. It's nobility. I've been just watching this series, The Crown. It's really moving. You know, something about royalty that's very godly. But God and Jesus, that the King of kings, the purest, the royal king, our God, our Father. What a fearful God he really is. How could we ever approach him in these rags? How could we go from this shameful world, this sinful body, and approach this God? It's unbelievable. The King of kings. But you know what Jesus did on the cross? That's why we can. You know, it's horrendous when you're separated from your parents as a young child. I've experienced it. I absolutely made my mom go berserk on this family trip. You know, we were one of five children, and we went often on a family trip with a little minivan around Europe. We went to Norway that time. And a lot of things happen when you go traveling with your little kids. And in this small, compact van, many things happened. Things were said. Stress levels were high. And my mom was driving. And she had that moment of, "Rah! I've had enough of you, Carl!" And she went, "Eeks!" The brakes. Somewhere in Sweden, or where we were, I don't know. And she threw me out of the van. She's not here, don't tell her. It's horrendous. She regrets it. It's horrendous. You know, she regrets it. And she drives off. I was small, you know. And you know when you can't breathe out of panic? You know this moment when you can't breathe? Because it's like when your children cry and you just count the seconds, you know, the pause sometimes they have. It's cool, isn't it? That was what happened to me. And I just didn't know what to do. You know, she actually just drove like 20 meters away and stopped the car again. But for me, the life stopped. Because I was separated from my mother and father and my family. And I went into the car, back with my seatbelt on, and I was just quiet. Just a good boy. You know, but we don't know what it's like to be separated from God. We forget sometimes. It's not made clear for us till the day comes when it's made really clear. When we see God face to face. We don't know what it's like to be away from him. Praise God, we don't. But Jesus did. On the cross, totally separated from his Father. Totally abandoned. My Father, why have you rejected me? The cost he paid. Isn't he awesome? You know, we saw this man limping in this video of pain. I don't think it compares what Jesus and God paid for us to be in their family. Should we be close to God? Should we get right close to God? God is an awesome Father. We don't need to be away from him. We can be right close to him. You know, we can come back to him as well. If you're being away from him, we can come back to him and be totally purified, washed in him. He's an awesome Father. He absolutely loves us. You know what? What's your name again? Tiwa, sorry. What Tiwa was singing. It's very interesting. He was singing about a groan and a sigh. You know, a groan and a sigh and a tiredness of heart. You know, it's true with us. There's a There's a righteous place for that. A sigh to be reunited with God. A sigh to be saved from this fallen world. Are you saved in Jesus? Yes. I hope you are. I am as well. But we're not fully made new yet, are we? We're not fully free from this world yet. There's a way to go. To be honest, I often think, I just wish I was home. I'm only 25 still. And I go to bed sometimes at night and think, oh, I just want to be in heaven. I'm just enough of this. But Paul says in Romans, you know, that the whole all creation groans and sighs like in labor birds to be set free from this fallen world, and we with it shall groan. You know, there's a journey ahead of us, for us. And it's true. It's like your heart is tired because you long to be with him. But also, we're patient. We wait till God, we get totally near God. We totally see our heart's desire, which is Jesus. Just want to encourage you tonight. You know, there's a journey ahead of us. But we can be really close to God, our Father. We can really tap in him, into him. And be refreshed and encouraged. And the truth is, our life is with him. Our home is there with our Father who loves us. Until we get there, it's like keeping going, keeping praying, keeping seeking him, being helped by him. But our focus and our heart's desire is to meet him, our Jesus, our King of Kings, our Father. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. So I don't know how some of you are feeling in here this evening in terms of what's going on in your life and all the rest. You know, I don't know. The person sat next to you might not know, or maybe they do. But the truth is, most people don't have a clue actually what's going on inside the individual's heart. And very often, we don't even know ourselves because we're so complicated. We don't even understand or know ourselves fully. Only God fully does. But, you know, maybe you feel like you're going through a really tough time. Like that guy in the video, you know, he's hobbling through. It's like the race of life, isn't it? You know, maybe you feel like you're hobbling through, struggling through, battling through this race of life. Maybe you feel defeated, injured, like everyone else has ran ahead. Maybe you feel like you've lost or you're just down and broken, battered, defeated. But actually, God the Father is here for you tonight to pick you back up and to carry you through the rest of this life, through whatever you're going through right now, whatever it may be. He is your dad. He's your daddy. Actually, the Bible allows us to call God the Father daddy. In the word in the Bible is Abba, and it's a Hebrew word where the Hebrew children used to call their father Abba if he was their actual blood father. The kids would call him Abba. And it means, literally, that word means daddy. The closest word we can have to it in this language. Not dad, not father, not our dad. The closest word is like a little child would call to their dad. A little child would say, daddy, daddy, daddy. My little boy, he's coming up for two in sort of March, or beginning of April next year, sorry. And he's just started to speak. One of the first things he says is, daddy. He's always saying it. Is that whenever he sees me, whenever I come home from work, and I pull up the car, he's there looking out the window with the big smile on his face. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And I walk in the house and he's there. Daddy, daddy, daddy. That's the exact same attitude and the exact same word that we can approach God. Is that amazing? This Almighty God, this powerful God, this King of Kings, this Judge, this awesome Savior, this amazing God who created the heavens and the earth. We can approach him that exact same way. Daddy, the Bible says in Romans 8 that we can say to God, Abba, our spirit testifies with the Holy Spirit and we cry out, Abba, Abba. I wonder if that's the cry of your heart right now. This evening, where you're at in your life. You know, we can know lots of things in our head, We can have lots of Bible knowledge and lots of scripture and hear lots of teaching and all these things. For years and years and years, we can hear stuff and hear stuff and learn things and learn things, and they go in, and we can recite them, and we can preach them even, and we can tell others about them, and we can read them and know them and study them. We can tell each other the name of the book of the Bible and the passage that it's in, and we can quote them to each other and look very good and look very clever and look like we know everything. But actually, in our heart is where it really counts. The heart is what really matters. That revelation of the love of the Father is more important than any head knowledge. Any head knowledge. Someone said once that the journey from the head to the heart is the longest journey. And there's times in my life where God's just met me in my heart and just bypassed my head and just bang, just touched me. And I've just had a vision or something. And I've just received his love, and I've felt his love for myself personally, in a personal way. What a bit of head knowledge could never ever do. Nothing wrong with knowledge, right? Okay. But the revelation of the love of the Father is what each and every single person needs. Each and every one of you and me need more of this. Maybe you've had it to some measure, but we need it more. We need that cry, Daddy, more. We need to be normal, natural. So when someone says, Daddy God, it's not weird, it's normal. And often if we don't have that revelation, or we've had parents from a very young age that have in some way, shape or form misaligned what our perception of father is or mother is. Because God's neither male nor female. He's mother and father to us. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, the Lord is described as the many-breasted one. One of the names for the Lord is the many-breasted one, the comforter. And I know that might sound a little strange, but it's just symbolic for comfort. Like a mother comforts a baby at the breast, so will God comfort us. And if we haven't received that perfect love from our earthly parents, which incidentally none of us can because no one's perfect, then we have a misrepresentation of father. When we hear father, we don't even know this, right? It's all subconscious. We think, you know, people say, you know, all the scientists and all these and people that study, you know, children growing up and all the rest say that the character and everything is completely formed, and the personality, the foundations of life, for a whole life of one person, is totally formed by the age of about 5 or 7 years old. I mean, I don't even remember hardly anything before then, do you? What do we remember really before then? So all this stuff sort of ingrained in us, and it shapes our character and our thoughts and who we are and how we think and how we feel and how we act, and we don't even remember why. But God wants to put things right. He wants to come to you tonight in a new way and show you who he is as his, as daddy, as your dad, your perfect dad. Maybe your earthly father or mother hurt you in some way, shape or form. We've all been hurt by our parents, you know. But God wants to heal that wound. He wants you to open your heart to him tonight, to allow him to adopt you so that you can be called a son or a daughter. As it describes again in there, Romans 8, this, we adopted, we've received that spirit of sonship. And that's where we stand. We stand in a position of sonship, like Carl was talking about. When we've made that decision to accept Jesus in our life, we move from slavery, fear, and all these horrendous things into a place of sonship, in a place where we're completely loved and accepted by our Father, our Dad, our Daddy in heaven. Totally accepted because of Jesus, despite how you feel, despite how much you struggle with sin, despite you feeling great and doing well religiously, it doesn't really matter. You totally accept it because of what Jesus has done. This is the truth. This is the fact. This is where you stand. You're a son, you're a daughter. But because of hurts in life, we often don't feel that, even though it's the truth. We feel like an orphan. We feel like we don't have a father, or we can't relate to father. We don't believe fully in our heart that God is the perfect daddy. And we have tendencies to act out of this place, out of that heart of an orphan rather than that heart of being a son, which is the truth. So we're acting like here. So how does an orphan act compared to a son? And we notice this in ourselves. You know, I've noticed this in myself many times, depending on, you know, how things are going in my life, up and down and all the rest. And we all do, to some way, shape or form, to some degree. And God wants to bring a healing to you tonight. And he wants to bring a new revelation of who he is as your daddy, so that you can more and more live in the truth that you're absolute son, loved by God. You're a daughter of the King. He loves you. You can call him daddy. There's no shame in that. In Zephaniah, it says that God rejoices over us with singing. I mean, can you imagine that? He's rejoicing over you right now with singing. Do you believe it? Or do you feel, no one could love me? Or these kind of lies? Because these are all lies. An orphan has fear, whereas a son has confidence and security that they're loved by the Father. An orphan will have insecurity. And out of a place of insecurity, you know, you feel like you need to strive for acceptance from God or other people. You can have an orphan can have a tendency to want to perform religious duties or good works to please God, to be accepted. An orphan can want to compare themselves to the other brothers and sisters. How am I doing compared to everybody else? They'll be jealous when others succeed above them and feel a bit better when somebody else doesn't do so well. And they're constantly comparing themselves to other people instead of just resting in that knowledge that they're totally loved and accepted exactly as they are. Maybe you notice some of these things in yourself. An orphan will be independent, whereas a son will be totally dependent on the Lord. You know, it's a terrible thing to be independent in terms of your walk with God. This is where pride is. This is where the flesh is. This is where our own strength and our own works and our own efforts are. And it's a very tiring place. If you're living here and you're not tired yet, you will be. It's so much easier to step into this place of brokenness and weakness and to just lean back in the Father's arms and have him carry us, exactly like the guy did on the video. You know, in Deuteronomy, God says to the Israelites about when they're in the desert, there you saw, I carried you, as a father carries his son. We need to be totally dependent on God. I love that song that we sang first this evening, that first one about stirring a deep, deep well. Is it awesome? You know, I'm not going to go any further than that. You don't want to hear me sing, let alone dance, trust me. But it's you know, from Ezekiel, where, you know, they walk in the river of God and it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, at first you're sort of walking in to the river and you're ankle deep and then knee deep and waist deep. You know, if you're running into a cold sea on a cold winter's day for some strange reason or something like that, or you're going into a cold swimming pool or whatever, it's like you dip your toe and it's like, ooh, it's a bit cold. And then you go a bit more risky and you get your knee and then you get up to your waist and then it's like, and then eventually you go until you're totally out of your depth. That's where God wants us to live, in complete dependence and reliance on him, where we're out of our depth, where we can't do it, where we have to rely on God to save us and take us where he wants us to go in his river. Because if we're not there, then we're in control. Then we can decide where we want to go, and we've got the control, and it's just not God's way. The son's dependent on God. There's a true story of a famous acrobat in the 1800s called Blondine. Maybe some of you have heard the story. Martin's told many, many times, not for a while, but there's a true story about this famous acrobat called Blondine. And he was once doing a tightrope across Niagara Falls, which is a massive, massive waterfall, you probably know, on the border of the USA and Canada. And he tightroped across there. It's like 1,100 feet long, 160 feet high up he was, on just a tiny little rope. And he would do it quite easily, you know, on his own. He would go across once, normally, and then he'd go like backwards, literally backwards. And then he'd go back again blindfolded. Once he went on stilts, once he went stopped in the middle, cooked an omelette, and then carried on. And then he went once again in a, and took a wheelbarrow with him across Niagara Falls. It's absolutely massive. I've had the privilege of being there. It's phenomenal. It's terrifying. But he did it, and he took a wheelbarrow across with him one time, just as you do, 160 feet high above Niagara Falls, 1,100 feet across, carrying a wheelbarrow. And everyone's screaming, "Blondine, Blondine, we love you, we love you." He says, "Who thinks I am the great Blondine?" And everyone shouts, "Yeah, you are the great Blondine. Who thinks I can go back again, backwards with a wheelbarrow?" And he said, "Yeah, you can do anything. You're the great Blondine. You're awesome. We love you, Blondine. Who thinks I can take a man in a wheelbarrow across with me? We believe in you, Blondine. We know you can do it, Blondine." And then he said, "Who is that man?" Total silence. It's one thing to say the stuff. It's another thing completely to get in the wheelbarrow, isn't it? But a child of God, a son or a daughter, gets in the wheelbarrow. Would you like to do that tonight? Would you like to get in the wheelbarrow of Jesus, of your Father, and let him carry you? Let's stand to our feet. Just close your eyes and just focus on the Lord, would you? And I'll do it as well with you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you that you're our perfect Father. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come right now and just to touch hearts all over this room. Lord, I just pray that you would bring total truth and clarity and reality to us. Lord, I thank you that you absolutely love us, each and every one of us, exactly as we are. Whether we're feeling great or bad or terrible or whatever, you love us with your perfect love exactly as we are right now. But Lord, you love us too much to leave us as we are. You want to change us. You want to transform our heart. You want us to encounter you. I just believe the Lord's going to pour out his love in our hearts now. So we'll just have some time where we just wait on the Holy Spirit for a few moments. This is the last night of this series we've been doing. After this is the Christmas services and then whatever's next, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do something now. He wants to take us deeper into his river. Deeper into that river of his love, in that river of his grace. So let's just wait on him. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Maybe you feel weak, totally weak and empty, totally exhausted. And you've just, and you know you've been doing it like that sort of out of that orphan tendency. You've been doing it yourself and you're just so tired. And I've been doing this myself as well. You know, I get tired sometimes when I act in my flesh. But we can just repent, you know, and say to the Lord quietly now where you are, just to do some business with him. Lord, I just repent now of acting in the flesh sometimes and trying to do things in my own way and in my own strength. Lord, I repent of believing the lies of the devil where I've acted like an orphan. When the truth is I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the King of Kings, and you're my daddy, and I can depend on you. With all my weight, I can put all my weight on you, all my trust in you, all my hope in you. Maybe you've had hopes and dreams from the Lord that you're still waiting for and you give up on them. All good things of the Lord come to pass in his perfect timing. So be encouraged, be strengthened. take heart and wait for the Lord. He loves you. He knows what's best.
If you want to be blessed by God even more, you can just come forward and we'll pray for you. I just believe it's like stepping into that waterfall that I had a picture of. God's ultimate grace and the washing love of the Father washing over you. Whatever's happened to us, whatever we've done to ourselves, no matter how broken we are, how dirty we've been, God's love can just wash it out. So if you want to come forward for some more prayer, just to be with your Father, and we'll pray for each other. Feel free.
You know, God is here for you, and he wants you to respond to this message. He wants you to respond. He doesn't want you to leave here and just think, I haven't got what I came for. You're here for a reason tonight, and God wants to bless you. You know, as these guys were speaking and as Vicky gave a testimony, I clearly felt there's someone here who feels like their sins are too much, they're too heavy, that you can't possibly be forgiven for them. You think that you've done something that's so bad that no one will ever forgive you, that God won't ever forgive you. But you know what? He wants to tell you tonight that he will. He wants to say to you something very clear, something that's in the book of Isaiah. He wants to say to you that though your sins are red as crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. God wants to make you free, wipe the slate clean tonight for you. He already has. You're already saved, I believe. But he wants you to know it. He wants you to be a son tonight, or a daughter. Do you know it? Do you know that you're that son or daughter? Because God wants you to be sure. Like Andy was saying, this is a heart issue. It's not a head issue. Come, respond to this message. We love praying for people here. If you leave here without prayer, you can do, you know. But what does God want you to do right now? What does your heart tell you? Then that's what you should do. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to just stay in where God's got us for the moment. God was speaking to me all the way through the preaching, really similar to what these guys were saying. You know, I really feel like there's some people here, more than one, who know that they are sons. You know, they know that they are with God. You know, they've sat there with him. You know, they know God's touch. But, you know, they've been acting like orphans. Or they've acted like orphans for a little while, and now they feel like they are. You know, they feel like they have walked away like the prodigal son. It's lies. Massive, massive lies. You know, there's nothing at all that we can do or say or think that can ever, ever pull us away from God. You know, if that is you, you know, if you feel like you once were a son or daughter, but now you're an orphan, it's a lie, a massive lie. It's just the enemy wanting to get in your head, because he knows that when God's got hold of you, when God's in your life, you're so powerful. If you look at what God does when he gets hold of one person's life, he can save millions of people. Don't let the devil lie to you. You know, if that is you, if you have, you know, been walking with God and you've been a son or daughter, but you feel like at the moment you are an orphan, please don't leave feeling like that. Please don't leave with that massive lie. Don't let the enemy tell you, it's okay. You know, you'll be all right. You're doing things in your own time. You know, it's not how they say it's different. It's lies. God loves you with every single bit of his heart. So there's nothing that you've done, thought, or said that can ever, ever, ever pull you away from him. He can't love you any less or more than how he loves you right this very second, because he loves you with every bit of his heart. So do not leave here without making things right with God. Please do not let any orphans walk out that door. because the price has already been paid for you to be a son and daughter. And if that's you, please just, you know, as the music's playing, as people are, you know, going to get the tea and coffee at the end, please come forward and let us pray for you. Because God doesn't want any orphans walking out that door. He died so there was no orphans leaving. So we're going to start bringing the meeting to a close. There's going to be snacks and tea and coffee at the back. But if that's you, I really feel like there's at least a couple of people in here. You know, please, please, please don't leave an orphan. You know, don't let God pay that price. Don't know him. Don't, you know, be in his family and then let something happen to make you slowly slip away and stay away, because he's absolutely heartbroken that you feel that way. God wants you right back next to him, and he'll always accept you, regardless of circumstance, regardless of feelings. He will always, always accept you. So we're going to close the meeting now, and like I said, please come forward for some prayer. Blessings.